This is After Dark number 5, this is tape number 1, and this is side 1. And this is Fred Vobey sitting behind the microphone in the DX Audio Service into the wee hours of the morning. And that's why we call this After Dark, because it is definitely past sunset. On this edition of After Dark, we've got a lot of material that's contributed via news services and DX Audio Service members. So we're going to be kind of jumping around from thing to thing, covering a lot of different pieces that we happen to have here on the DX Audio Service. And a lot of people have asked, what is After Dark all about? Well, basically, it's material that we think that you should know about. However, we just can't cover it in the magazine because of the length of the material. So anyways, let's jump right into it. The first item which we have here on After Dark in number 5 is an article submitted via Radio Netherlands Media Network. And this is a receiver review on a receiver manufactured by the company called Grundig. And I thought this would be kind of interesting. So let's give a listen to this. And by the way, thanks to Jonathan Marks for submitting this.
Watch out on there!
The laboratory results. There are winners and losers in the shortwave receiver market. Nick Meanwell has some positive results to report just back from our independent test laboratory. Nick.
Thanks, Jonathan. Well, first of all, a little bit of a flashback. You may well remember that we covered the launch of the Yacht Boy 400 at the end of last year in North America, round about the same time as the Yacht Boy 500 appeared in Europe. It is important to note that these two receivers are completely different. We reviewed the Yacht Boy 500 on Media Network a few months back and concluded that the audio quality was some of the worst we'd heard. In general, the radio had a lot of gimmicks you just do not need. Over the last few weeks, we've been testing a production sample of the Yacht Boy 400, purchased in the US in January for just under $220. You can't buy the 400 in Europe or in Asia just yet. It's not going to be available until the spring.
In fact, the Yacht Boy 400 turns out to be a great value package. Our example is clearly made for Grundig in the People's Republic of China. Grundig has designed the unit and supervised the quality control. The Yacht Boy 400 looks like many travel portables. At 180 by 120 by 37 millimeters, the set is about the size of a paperback book. It works off 6 penlight batteries and weighs 708 grams with batteries installed.
Despite a rather clumsy instruction booklet, literally translated from German, if you practice a little, the Yacht Boy 400 is extremely easy to use. You simply tap in the desired frequency and you press a button. 2 buttons allow you to shuttle up and down the dial, and on shortwave you can flip between 5 kHz steps or 1 kHz. Now that's a big improvement on sets like the ICF SW7600 from Sony. Another advantage is that the radio offers 2 bandwidths, and both filters have a good shape factor for a portable radio. The speaker is closely matched to the cabinet, so the radio sounds much richer and fuller than competing sets from Japan.
The radio turns out to be very sensitive, but without serious overloading problems here in Europe. You can store up to 40 stations in the memory facility, and using a separate set of up-down buttons, you can flip through the active memory channels with ease. Like most radios, the set will scan through the dial, stopping at stronger, listenable signals.
Clearly, some compromises have had to be made to keep the price down. You can receive single sideband using the radio, but clarification of either the upper or lower sideband is by means of a thumb wheel rather than the push of a button. The radio also has no synchronous detection, in contrast to, for example, the low HF-150 or the popular Sony ICF-2001D. But the sharp bandwidth filters in the Grundig, which come out at 5.5 and 3 kHz at minus 6 dB, are a strong plus point.
In addition to shortwave, the radio has longwave coverage, extended mediumwave coverage from 522 up to 1710 kHz, and as far as FM is concerned, that runs from 87.5 to 108 MHz, with stereo possible if you connect a pair of earphones. The sensitivity on FM is about right for Europe, maybe a little too sensitive for cities in North America where the FM dial is very crowded. You can connect an external antenna for areas where shortwave signals are relatively weak. The radio is supplied with a washing line antenna, though you don't really need that in Europe. Media Network correspondent Lou Josephs bought a Yacht Boy 400 in Boston, USA, and has been experimenting with a radio using a low-noise, low-gain active antenna made by Sony.
for what it is and what it costs, I was very impressed for Grundig. I've always thought that Grundig was like garbage radios, overpriced pieces of trash. I did hook this up to the AN1, Grundig, and it performed spectacularly with the AN1 on it. I was very impressed with what it did. Basically, people always thought that a Grundig radio was inferior to a Sony, and I think that perception is starting to change.
Other features, well, the dial light can be illuminated for bedtime listening. The set has two clocks for keeping track of both local time and UTC, and a recessed lock switch to prevent accidental battery drain when the radio is put in a suitcase. We got just over 20 hours of listening from a fresh set of alkaline batteries, listening for periods of an hour at a time. That's not bad, but running the set off the mains supply is a lot cheaper. In fact, though, a mains power supply isn't included as part of the package.
In short, Grundig North America has made a superb portable. And the sooner they start marketing the radio in the rest of the world, well, the better. The truth is that this Yacht Boy 400, made in China, performs much better than the more expensive and fancy Yacht Boy 500, made in Grundig's own factory in Portugal. At $220, Grundig has realized that they have to compete with competition from the Far East, and they have succeeded. They do well to rewrite the instruction manual and to supply more up-to-date schedule information. The one packed with our radio was clearly compiled nearly 4 years ago. Overall, this set is probably the best value on the market right now. It certainly sounds the best.
Well, Grundig could do with a success story. Reports from the headquarters at Fürth in southern Germany this week show that the company made a loss of around $210 million last year, the figures for 93 being worse than 92. The director of the company, Dutchman Peter Harmsen, has been pessimistic about the company's future. The Dutch Philips concern announced on Tuesday that it's increasing its stake in the company from 32 to just over 50%, and by controlling Grundig, Philips hopes to save the concern.
This is Ken Chatterton, taking you for a stroll back into our heritage. The story, wireless as it was written by Alice Brannigan and has appeared in Popular Communications magazine. This is a story of an incident which brought wireless into its own. In 1909, the first of several terrible shipwrecks of that era took place. This incident, more than any other, brought the importance of wireless home to the people and showed them that it was something more than just a tinkerer's or experimenter's toy. With about 30 feet of her bow cut away, the Italian steamship Florida of the Lloyd Italiana line came slowly into the port of New York on January 25th, 1909. 3 days earlier, near the Nantucket lightship off the Massachusetts coast, she had collided with the White Star liner, Republic. The popular Republic regularly sailed the Genoa to New York route, carrying as many as 2,000 passengers. This was a large ship for the day. It was 585 feet in length with a beam of 68 feet, weighing over 15,000 gross tons. The collision between the two ships occurred in dense fog just before 6 a.m. on a cold winter morning, while both vessels were well off course. The impact damaged both ships, and the Republic had water pouring in through a large gash in her port side. The Republic was clearly in danger of sinking. While passengers huddled on the deck of the Republic, Jack Binns, the ship's Marconi operator, was furiously transmitting the CQD distress signal. This signal was one that was later replaced by the SOS, which is a universal signal for distress. The steamer Florida heard the call, and finally, guided by blasts from the Republic's horn, managed to find her way out of the fog and to the ship's assistance. Many passengers were transferred from the Republic to the Florida. Ben's wireless calls also summoned another White Star liner, the Baltic, which he directed to the site to take aboard additional survivors from the Republic. The revenue cutter Gresham of the U.S. Coast Guard also picked up Ben's distress calls and attempted to take the stricken Republic in tow. The Republic, however, was so severely damaged that it was unable to make it to a safe port, and finally, the next morning, sank. Despite the severity of the initial collision, only 6 lives had been lost. All others had been saved. Binns had relentlessly tapped out more than 200 messages during the event, communicating with other ships and also the Marconi Coastal Station at Syosconsett, Massachusetts. He doggedly remained on duty at his wireless key day and night, ending his operations only when the ship's storage batteries finally gave out. The dynamos which charged those batteries had gone dead as soon as the engine room had flooded. As newspaper accounts of the incident told the story, wireless suddenly began to be viewed with seriousness by the public. It was heralded around the world as the modern miracle that saved lives. Jack Binns became a national hero, a legend, and a popular figure in the annals of early amateur wireless. Everyone knew both who Jack Binns was and the story of his heroism. The esteem was similar to that which later generations reserved for the first astronauts and for the first man on the moon. Binns remained such a popular figure that as late as the 1920s, he was writing the prefaces for a series of ham radio adventure books called The Radio Boys. Now, in 1994, few people other than radio or maritime historians know about Jack Binns Wireless and the Republic disaster. Neither do people these days understand how important it was for the growth and popularity of wireless technology. Without such occurrences as these, radio might never have developed to what it is today.
Thank you very much, Ken, for the report there on early radio. Cheryl Hinson sent us in an interesting thing on tape, and that was a one of our CPC tests from last winter. And this kind of goes to show exactly how nice it is when these stations do conduct these tests for us, and especially when they use code IDs. Give a listen to this catch, which was made by Cheryl, and congratulations for a very fine catch, especially through KMOX.
Very important business in Salt Lake City.
Huh?
Or maybe a relative was sick or something.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Dennis, when you were coming down to San Diego, why did you come by way of Salt Lake City?
I wanted to avoid the traffic lights in Laguna Beach.
Mary, you made me ask. You made me ask.
You will be with the owner of the traffic lights. You'll be back with more.
Years ago, every newspaper and newscast reported another savings amount for you. Even commercial banks
this
and the media
were
caught up in the all is not the well in the banking industry. During
this
that time, switching assets trading corporation, holding gold, silver, and rare coins, are competing for their clients with extra steps to protect them from these banking problems. Armed with an up-to-date report of the best and worst 100 banks in the country, Swiss America Trading Corporation will basically inform clients if banks which have their life savings with sovereignty rights. They rescue thousands of dollars of their clients' savings and banks on the verge of collapse. Recent news reports of Bill Clinton's Whitewater problems and all the doubt of Larry Bank about insolvent financial institutions causing us to ask the same questions again. Is money a state? Is our bank strong? The Swiss America Trading Corporation can supply you with the answers. If you'll call 1-800-BUY-CLINE, that's 1-800-5-7, our representatives will send you a free report on today's bank.
Our
KBMR, Bismarck, North Dakota, 1130. Bismarck, North Dakota. KBMR, 1130 kilohertz. Bismarck, North Dakota, on the air for equipment test. This is KBMR, Bismarck, North Dakota, on the equipment test. This is KBMR, Bismarck, North Dakota, on the air for equipment test.
I have to say, Cheryl, that is a great catch of a station there. That's a one in a million catch. Thanks a lot for sending that in. Tom Jackson, old TJ from Sycamore, sent in a interesting thing from his local station as they celebrated some history.
Something special for you.
It is 9 o'clock.
Half.
AP Network News. I'm Diane Burr.
1360 WLBK, DeKalb County's news and information source, now presents Party Line. Party Line is WLBK's public affairs program. It's your forum to speak out and be heard on the issues of the day. 1360 WLBK welcomes your calls at 758-8688. Join us on Party Line.
And welcome aboard, everybody. Dick Clage here on a Tuesday edition of Party Line. Tuesday, December 7th, 1993. I emphasize the date today because it is WLBK's 46th birthday. WLBK going on the air back on December 7th, 1947. We're going to do a little reminiscing on the program today. Joining me in the studios, our farm director, Bob Brown, who has been with WLBK since day one. Salesman Joe Berry, also in the studios, who has been around a number of years as well. And Mark Charvat, our program director, who has a rather lengthy tenure himself. And we'll be looking back over the course of the years and talking a bit perhaps how radio has changed. It certainly has. Correct, Bob?
All I can remember is when you say December 7th is a great president who said, the day that will live in infamy. Who was it?
Well, I think we all know.
We all know.
Did he have a cigarette in his mouth? When
he he had a wife that was quite a speaker, too.
Yeah, that was quite a speech. That speech has been around a long time. A lot of your speeches have been around a long time. We keep hearing them over and over again.
You say the change, Dick, the kid here. Are you recording this, Mark?
Yes, we are.
I want to hear what I have to say so I can take it home and play it this afternoon.
Just make one copy.
Yeah, we've come a long way. Not only, I'm thinking of Joe and I and Dick and Mark here, you know, we're bus drivers. And we're taking you as passengers on this trip, and you passengers are the ones that make our bus company work. If we didn't have passengers or listeners, we wouldn't have anywhere to go. So today I'd like to ask anybody that was around the first few months that we went on the air, kind of reminisce with us. Give us a call and tell us. We can do a lot of reminiscing, but I'd like to hear from some of you people out there. Give us a call in here. If you were listening to WLBK, when we went back on the air in the fall and winter of 1947. We'll reminisce a little bit about it.
Our phone number is 758-8688. The first day you went on the air, was there a great deal of tension among the staff?
It was a catastrophe. That's why I say I remember Pearl Harbor. And when we first went on the air, we worked for 2 weeks getting every record timed and everything set up in a cabinet beside the studio there, because we had never, most of us had never had any experience of a day's broadcasting. And when we finished that day, we signed off. I looked at one of the fellow workers, and I said, you know what? We got to do this all over tomorrow. We don't have 2 weeks to do it. I said, I tell you what, instead of timing each record, let's just figure you can get about three records in 15 minutes. Records run about 3 minutes or so. And so we quit with our stopwatch. We just took their mizz and then, you know, fade your record out because you needed the time. That was a no-no. You never faded a record. record. You played it through, you know, so...
All the records were 78. We hadn't even gotten to 45s yet.
No, they were all... You dropped one, you broke it.
That's right. They were heavy,
boy,
too.
Right.
Let's go to the phone lines at 758-8688. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I remember very well when WLBK first came on the air, and I know most of those fellas, mm-hmm. Bob Brown, mm-hmm. Joe, and a lot of them. And I have a cookbook that was put out by WLBK, and I still open it up and use recipes out of it. And that's been a while ago.
That was put out about the second or third year we went on the air.
That's right.
And then we had another one when Marge Gibbon was there, too.
Right. Well, my cookbook looks a little like it's been used quite a bit.
I have one, too.
There's some great recipes in it. And I just wanted to tell you that I just love WLBK.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You have a good day.
Thanks for calling. 758-8688. Joe, when did you first come aboard?
I believe I began in January of 1956, I believe, or 55. I'm not even sure anymore. But we stayed here about 2.5 years and then went to Kankakee and then to Madison, then to St. Charles, and then back here in 1965. So this second time around, what, 20-something? I think I had it figured out that... Bob, you've been here 564 months. Dick's been here 348 months, and I've been here 374 months.
What's the total of years?
What'd we do on that?
I think it's over 100.
Over 100 years.
Over 100 years, the three of us.
Yeah. So it's been a long time.
And you know what this guy on the board, you know what Mark says? When you've been here 50 years, Bob, we're going to give you away. And I says, you'll have to do it out at Fairview.
We need a big grand prize for our 50th anniversary.
It's something like 1 million or what? Let's see, 167,900 and something days that we've been broadcasting. Times that by about 100 records a day. That's over 1 million records, maybe
right.
2 million records
right.
We play. And you can start doing that with commercials.
You know, Mark played in Arthur Godfrey, we heard in the lobby mm-hmm. this morning. Mm-hmm. And when I ever give my talk on humor out, I say that, you know, people say, why don't you have a man on the street anymore? And the man on the street was the only ad-lib type of spontaneous program outside of going to county fairs or rallies and interviewing people. And Arthur Godfrey introduced a whole new style of radio when he just sat around in the room visiting with his guests. There was no script. We had, everything was scripted. Our music shows, everything. And you only heard one voice. There was no two guys chiming in, covering each other up so you could never hear either one of them like they do on some of these sport things today. Drive me up a tree. They both try to talk at the same time.
That was a new type of radio, and radio has changed quite a bit. But you know, a couple of people, you've mentioned Arthur Godfrey, but Don Ameche is another name that's been tossed around today. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that he began a radio, his brother Jim Ameche, and I think in Chicago radio. And so a lot of entertainers that went from radio in the 40s into TV in the 50s, and some people remember them more for the... for their TV than some of their radio work, mm-hmm. but a lot of them, like Don, got started in radio. You're reminiscing today with a lot of music. You've played some of the music today, Mark, and I remember you played the anniversary song this
mm-hmm.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking back, what was I doing back in 1947? And one of the things I was doing was sneaking into movie houses to see the Jolson story and the anniversary song. I think mm-hmm. you played it by Donna Shore, but I think it was Al Jolson that had the big hit that year. So that brought back a lot of memories for me.
We're going to reminisce a bit more during the course of Party Line. Of course, we invite your calls, 758-8688. We'll take a break and be right back. Back on Party Line with Bob Brown and Joe Berry. It's WLBK's 46th birthday today. We're reminiscing. Joe brought in an ad that appeared in the Daily Chronicle Friday, December 5th, 1947, 2 days before we went on the air. Walk us through a little bit, Joe, on some of the regular programming that took
place. It says, now on the air, WLBK in big block letters, 1360 kilocycles, locally owned and operated by Ted Lanes and Roland Wallum. And then it said, production, Bob Brown, Lois Montgomery Still, Marie Weaver, Don Ulrey, and Bud McMillan. And Charles Green was the engineer. And then it had a whole list of programs. Monday through Friday, they had the Barnyard
Reveille,
or Jamboree.
Yeah. Well, Reveille in the morning, but in Saturday we had the Jamboree.
You had a breakfast Jamboree, Melody Roundup, News Summary, Church of the Wildwood, Chapel of the Air, Musical Moods, Town Crier, Stork News, Women Today, Jigsaw News. You'll have to explain that one to me. Stars on the Horizon, Telephone Quiz, Luncheon Serenade. You serenaded everybody, didn't you? Morning, noon, and night. Main Street DeKalb at 12:15 in the afternoon, right?
And where's the lady that always calls and says, Bob Brown, I was the first one you interviewed. She always calls every year. We'll hear from Lois.
Well, we got some callers waiting, so let's go to the phone lines and see what we come up with. You're on the air.
Is it me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to thank you and tell you how much I appreciate WLBK, especially the news and the party line. I've enjoyed it almost from the beginning, but I'll make you a wager, a bet. I believe that most of your listeners today would prefer the music that you played then to now, especially that wonderful lady who played the request numbers on the piano, by ear, maybe, but she was just so good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for
your
comments.
Call. Yeah. Well, that's before my time, the piano playing.
Yeah. I recall it vaguely.
Let's take another call, 758-8688. You're on the air.
Yes, I remember when it came on WLBK. I was only 11 years old, and very interesting. I've listened to it ever since. I turned the radio on the first thing in the morning, and news, and don't turn it off until you sign off. It's very interesting. You hear all local news and everything.
Thank you.
All the men, I can't say what all their names are, only Bob from the old ones, Irie.
He's one of our old ones, yeah.
Remember them all.
Thank you, Hon, very much.
I've had several people say, you're the first thing I put on in the morning.
The previous caller mentioned Party Line. When I came here in 64, this show was called At Your Service.
Right.
Was that the original title?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At Your Service.
And
Trading Post was our, what we call
instant
it, class.
Instant ads.
Instant ads, yeah.
758-8688. We'll take another call. You're on the air.
Yeah, so I'd like to know what does the WLBK stand for. Did it stand for, was it named after any particular person or anything?
We applied to the FCC for the WDEK.
Uh-huh.
And that was already assigned somewhere, so we had to get as close as we could. But I always, when I tell a joke about our call letters, people ask that same question, and I said it stands for the four people that started at Wallum, Lane, Brown, and Knutz.
Okay. And when did your FM come on the scene? WLBK FM. Did you have an FM?
Yes, we did. George Bigger bought the station in 54. I think it was about time you came here, Joe.
Sometime in
late 50s.
Yeah, I remember the big argument about getting the spot on the dial. And,
mm-hmm.
In the mid 50s, I think, sometime 56.
61, our authoritative sources.
Okay, 61.
Know.
Was it, did it, I came to DeKalb in the 80s, so I don't know. I'm asking some weird questions here, but what was the FM format? Then, and were they 24-hour like they are now?
No.
DEK?
No, we simulcast.
The reason we got an FM frequency was because we couldn't provide a service to our listeners being a daytime station, the FCC gave us a different sign-off each month. November, right. December was 4:30, our shortest month of the year. And then when the daylight hours were a little longer, January, we could stay on at 4:45. So we then obtained an FM license, but we had to sign that off early because you couldn't interfere with another station on that channel, and then finally they did away with that.
Okay, hey, thank you very much. Congratulations.
Okay,
thank you.
758-8688, our phone number. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for all of you. Have any of you read Garrison Keillor's book, Radio Days? And then I was wondering how that might compare to your experience with WLBK.
The name of the writer?
Garrison Keillor?
No, I have not read it.
Oh,
is it about radio? We probably haven't read it.
I wonder if it was the same as the play that played in town, the Egyptian Theater, the Radio Days play.
Well, he was the one that did Lake Wobegon Days, but then he wrote this other book about early days of radio up in Minnesota, and I just wondered, because it was a very good description.
There's a gentleman over in the valley, Elgin, I believe it is, who did a lot of research on the local stations here and their formats and the history about them. It's quite a large book, and we're in there, too. He interviewed most of us here, and that is a historical book, as far as I'm concerned, telling about the early days of all the stations here.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. 758-8688. We're going to get into some of the types of music we played when LBK first went on the air back in 1947, and we'll get into that topic when Party Line continues in just a moment. Back on Party Line, WLBK's 46th birthday, Bob Brown and Joe Berry, along with Mark Charvat in the studios, and as promised, want to talk a little bit about the types of music popular when the station went back on the air December 7th, 1947. Mark, what was the biggie?
The biggie. Well, let's play Name That Tune with our experts, Joe and Bob. See if you can name this song. It was number one.
I'll play two notes.
When we went on the air, here we go. Take a listen. Francis Craig, and it has the distinction of being the song that spent the most weeks at number one so far of all time, even with current competition. 17 weeks number one back in 1947 and even into 1948.
Yeah. There have been a lot of vocal renditions of that as well.
Too, right? I think there is some vocals. I think it's...
You can understand lyrics.
Well, yes.
It's melody. George Bigger told me once, don't ever play a song when you're on the air that people can't hum, sing, whistle, or tap their toe to.
Well, let's talk about the music in general back then. Now, I followed music as a little kid, which is what I was in 1947. I assume you played quite a bit of Vaughn Monroe.
Yeah. You know what the psychologists say? Music reflects the mood of the people of the time. We live in a war period time. We live in today where, you know, shoot 'em up, bang, bang type of stuff, and the music reflects that. And it was more, we were in more when we started in those years, Joe will remember that, in more of a melancholy period. It was after World War II.
We were romancing.
Yeah, it was a lot of love songs and melody songs and thick quartets we had and choirs. I remember Fred Waring and Pennsylvanians and Mitch Miller and some of those. They were beautiful.
And some people still on the scene. Frank Sinatra was recording a lot.
Right.
This Sunday, Mel Torme is going to be up at the Metro Center. It would have been about 47 that maybe the biggest hit he ever recorded, Blue Moon, came out.
Blue Moon, right.
Yeah. What are some of the others,
Of course,
Mark?
He wrote a very popular song.
Well, here are some of the number ones from 47. Of course, White Christmas was number one at the beginning of the year, but I think that was number one about five different years. Hoagy Carmichael, Huggin' and Chalkin'. Do you remember that one?
No. Mm-hmm.
Managua, Nicaragua from Freddie Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Count Basie and the Three Flames both hit with a song called Open the Door, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Open the door, Richard.
Oh, that was a big hit.
That's
yeah.
right. Ted Weems and Heartaches was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Guy Lombardo also had a hit with Managua, Nicaragua. Ray Noble with Buddy Clark in a song called Linda.
Linda was mm-hmm. a big, big, big hit.
Sinatra and Art Lund both had hits with Mademoiselle. And Peg Oh My Heart hit three times that year. The Harmonicats, Buddy Clark, and also the Three Sons also had big hits. And you mentioned Vaughn Monroe. That was mm-hmm. the final number one of the year. Ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the biggies in 47.
I was there when they recorded Peg Oh My Heart. Civic Opera Building studio mm-hmm. on the 49th floor. And actually, that the story about that song is that the other side, which happened a lot in record business, you know, you do a two-sided record. The other side was supposed to be the, you know, the A side, about Peg My Heart.
Well, that's what happened to the Auctioneer, you remember, Van Dyke? And the other song that came out was supposed to be the top song, and yet the Auctioneer, where he does the chant on that thing.
Yeah, that's the music. Bob mentioned the music, the mood of the times, and you know, in the late 40s, that was the one thing. And then in the 50s, we start getting into a little bit more of the, well, not early 50s, but later when Presley came around, you know, and we start getting into more blues and...
late 50s.
Mid 50s, I think.
Rock Around the Clock, I think, was the
that
start
was the
of...
first of...
1955 for
right,
that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Haley, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, you mentioned the flip side when you purchased... records back then. Johnny Ray had the huge hit Cry,
mm-hmm.
and then about 6 months later, everybody started playing the flip side, which was the Little White Cloud That Cried,
yeah.
and that became as popular as Cry did.
Mm-hmm.
But in those days, we didn't have as many recordings and as many artists as they do today. Today, you know, Mark could probably attest to this. We'd get 5 or 10 new records a month in those days. Today you get five or ten
a day.
Hour, maybe. You know,
yeah.
There's just so much more music being mm-hmm. put out. So in those days, you know, you could get a two-sided hit real easy. And but then, you know, in the mid-50s with Rock Around the Clock and then Presley. And I'll tell you that in 1955, I remember playing, I think, Blue Suede Shoes and then
Carl Perkins.
Carl Perkins. Mm-hmm.
But... also, at the same time on the top 10, you'd find things like with the opera star Price, I think his name was, or Pierce. And we'd have contrasts in music on the top 10. You know, you'd have something like Presley with a rock song and then something very close to being operatic on the other side.
Let's take another call at 758-8688.
What was it, Jan Pierce, I think? The opera star? He had a couple of records that were hit.
I think that's correct. Yeah. Let's take another call. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm a big listener of WLBK. And with the number of king of all war songs back then was Elton Britt. There's a Star Spangled Banner waving somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
back in the war days, yeah.
That was one of my favorite songs and still is.
Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Correct.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. White Cliffs of Dover.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite programs on WLBK was the Cooking the Recipe program with Lois.
The Mixing Bowl.
Right. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed that, and I wish WLBK would think about something like that now.
Uh-huh.
And I also enjoyed the program not too many years back that WLBK had the Person of the Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we saluted one person every day.
Right. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I think a lot of people did.
I think we did that for about 4 or 5 years.
I know. It was quite a...
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember, too, being on the program, The Man on the Street.
Mm-hmm.
I was interviewed one day. I was walking down the street, and I enjoyed that program. So maybe Mark and them can think about those programs and bring some of them back.
Okay, so a lot of things cycle back.
I'm sure they'll think about them.
Yeah, right.
They won't be back.
Thanks for the
call. Okay, I hope you have many more good years
Thank
on
you.
The air.
Thank you.
Mixing Bowl was a half hour, wasn't it, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
10:30 to 11.
Yeah.
And Lowe's would give recipes, sometimes her own, but more often than not, recipes submitted by listeners.
Right. She could stretch a pound of hamburger across the county.
She certainly could. 758-8688, talking about the history of programming here on WLBK on this, our 46th birthday. Joe Barry, Bob Brown, Mark Charvat here. We'll be back in just a minute. And a few minutes remaining on this WLBK's 46th birthday. Bob Brown and Joe Barry, along with Mark Charvat. We got a couple callers waiting. We'll go back to the phone lines. You're on the air.
This is Gladys Worsing. And way back when, I whistled on a program that you used to have.
Amateur Hour.
I think Bob Brown remembers that.
Frank Phillips Amateur Hour.
Yeah, and I whistled Alice Blue Gown.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
And I was scared to death.
That's tough to do, to whistle while you're scared.
That's been a long, long, long
Can
time
Can you whistle
ago.
For us a little this morning?
No, my whistle kind of wore out.
Is that right?
I'm now living at Oakcrest Retirement Home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks
for the call.
Bye. Okay.
758-8688. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to say congratulations also to WLBK for all their years on the air. And
Thank
I remember
you.
The very first day because I was in the hospital. Our daughter was a baby.
Uh-huh.
She was born, and we were in the old part of the Sycamore Hospital when it was still standing. So it's a very memorable day. And I also want to say that I just used to like the cooking schools they put on. I have a little book that's called Mealtime USA that was put on at the Egyptian Theater.
Right.
And it has the very best recipes, old recipes, but very good nourishing recipes.
Now, let me ask you a question. You were having a baby back in 1946?
47.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What was it, a boy or girl?
A girl, a little girl, our only girl.
And
and we were in the hospital, and I think there were four ladies in the room, and we turned on WLBK and all enjoyed your very first program. So it was a very memorable day. I always remember when you came on the air.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great story.
And I hope you can continue many more years.
Thanks for the call. And we'll take one more quick call and then have a couple closing comments. You're on the air.
Yes, I would also like to say that I enjoyed and very much remember working around my home to near you. And I have enjoyed many years of listening to WLBK. Has been a joy in my life.
Well, thank you very
over
much.
Over the years.
Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. Thanks so much for the call.
You're quite welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Down through the years, some people that we still hear from on the national scene, maybe we can reflect a little bit. When I came here in 64... the fellow that was doing this program was Bob Neal,
mm-hmm.
who now works for Ted Turner
mm-hmm.
as a basketball play-by-play man with Rick Barry and anybody that watches sports on TV at all, I'm sure on one occasion or another, has run into Bob, and he's done a little bit of everything and has been extremely successful.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I think, Dick, is people have been calling, telling us about memories, and I think we have our own memories. People have memories of us, and I think whatever we do in life creates a memory, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad.
We want to thank all those people who aborted our bus. We've enjoyed this trip.
Thank you. And we hope they enjoyed the ride.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listeners that made us.
Dick Klaish, along with Bob Brown, Joe Barry, and Mark Charvat this morning, reminiscing on WLBK's 46th birthday. We thank you for listening. Party Line returns tomorrow at the same time.
That's WLBK's Party Line for today. Listen to Party Line at this time, Monday through Friday on 1360 WLBK. The comments of our guests and callers do not necessarily represent the opinion of WLBK and its advertisers. Party Line is a public affairs program of 1360 WLBK.
And we'd like to thank Tom Jackson, old TJ, for recording that from his home location and sending it to us here for After Dark number 5. We've got more of After Dark on side 2, so just hit the fast forward button and flip over the cassette.